Your source for everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Phantom shores of the Hudson River. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio. Each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency. I want to welcome everybody. We got, I think it's a crescent moon, very close to a crescent moon, almost like a new moon out there. And it's in Scorpio, and I'm on the Hudson River, and it's a cold night here in New York. And last week, if you didn't catch the show, we had the author, Philip Dick, the late author Philip Dick, his wife Tessa Dick. And if you didn't catch that show, you should definitely check out my website or the Para-X site or Podomatic to catch that replay. Tonight, I figured we would talk about dark sorcery and how I feel it has infected this world, and it has been summoned onto our mortal world, and maybe, just maybe, the religions that are here are made for control and are an ancient battle between outside entities over ownership of this mortal world. The ancient battle between the gods, Baal, Yahweh, all these entities that people worship. And I plan to go over different texts from the Gnostics to ancient Egyptian mythology, so we can make some similarities, and we can also try to uncover what they were trying to describe. You know, just magic in general. Some say it's primitive to worship and use charms and worship certain objects, and maybe it is a form of primitive practice, but in reality, we are magic. Our thoughts are magic. Our whole world is magic. And it's just a matter of whether you have the light or the dark in you. And my research and experiences throughout my life have given me glimpses of both the light and the dark side. And for years, different people have been tracking down whether you want to call it energy lines, dragon lines, whatever you want to call it, ley lines, but we have a power grid on our planet that I feel has been corrupted and is becoming corrupted. And the Chinese always emphasized the importance of controlling this power, this energy, this dragon's breath in both their planning and architecture of buildings and the landscape around it. And some say that a disruption in the soil can cause the land to go sour. And I don't know if you've ever read the Stephen King novel or seen Stephen King Pet Sematary, but they talk about how the Native American land had gone sour and the burial ground, and not to use it anymore because of what will manifest from this sour soil. And how does the land become sour? So, like I said, when a soil is disrupted in any way, it causes an imbalance in the earth energy. Okay, so this land was never meant to be owned. And we're going to go deeper into it later on tonight. But just to give you a little clue to where I'm going with this is, if you think about the two gods that were worshipped, in how it was they were worshipping Baal, and Baal was many in Mesopotamia, right? Baal was many. There was many Baals. There was, you know, God of the forest, God of the sea, God of the, you know, all of the God of the earth, the air, all these different gods. You know, Baal was many. Yahweh was one. And Yahweh states, you know, and talks how he is the owner of everything. You know, no one else owns. He owns the land. But Baal was one that dealt in contracts and mortgages. He was one that would say, hey, I'll give you some of the land if you worship me, if you follow me, if you're devoted to me, if you give offerings to me. And Yahweh says, I own everything. Worship me and only me, because it is mine. And if you bow to me, you will find peace, and I will be your savior. And, you know, but Baal is about mortgages and contracts and ownership over land. So what is this world about now? What is our whole world about now? It's about owning things, getting more stuff, owning more land, mortgages, contracts. So technically, we are making deals with Baal. You know, we are contributing to the ownership of this mortal realm. And the line has been blurred, this Yahweh versus Baal, you know, and it's just two entities fighting over ownership over this land. And I guess if you're sort of making a deal with Baal, you can make a contract, you can make a mortgage, you can meet the devil in a way. And there's different names for Baal, you know, some say Baal. Some say Baal, some say Bel, some say it evolved into Belteshazzar. This all means the devil, you know, this all means some demonic entity. And there are many of Baal or Baal. And in the lost book of King Og, which the Vatican suppressed for thousands of years, they had this in their secret library. And now, in 2016, Father Martin released some of the only writings of the Rephaim, of these Nephilim, these ancient giants, who I feel are not only physical beings, but are interdimensional beings that get pulled into this mortal realm through blood ritual and blood sacrifice, and they can smell the blood. They can smell the DNA. They are attracted to the DNA, and they are attracted to the energy that comes along with this realm. And to get back to what I was saying, with the land, usually, if there are, see, there's like veins in our, that's the best way I could say, there's like veins of energy, flowing substance, a flowing energy, and it runs beneath us, beneath our feet. And if we cut holes through mountains, make roads, if we start changing landscape, it will cause a disruption, an imbalance in the soil. The Chinese have a word for this dragon's breath. It's S-H-A, Sha. And this is for maybe up to 70 years now, the European dowsers have been finding what they call black radiations. Hold on, in the chat room, you might have to refresh. I know people are joining, and Groovy Bean. Are you there, guys? Did you find sound now, Groovy Bean? You should be there. Hope so. Okay, so the dragon's breath, this word, Sha, if I'm pronouncing it right, S-H-A, these European dowsers have traced the lines of these black radiations, which is like a black stream of energy, imbalance in the earth. And these black radiations follow through this underground veins. And these black streams, they are producing imbalances in our earth and affecting the landscape, the crops, and any animals or humans that frequent and live in the areas. And some dowsers say that this imbalance of energy is caused basically by people cutting down trees, quarrying, cutting through the hills and in the mountaintops, building roads, landslides, when landslides occur. All these things can cause an imbalance of energy. And just like in acupuncture, they stake the node on an acupuncture meridian or line to restore balance in our bodies, dowsers can also stake black streams with iron rods. And that's basically like restoring the yin and the yang, you know, or the good and the evil, the heaven and the hell. And they can do this on certain points where the land has gone sour or, you know, toxic. And I feel that most of our big cities, major points in our world have gone sour. And not only that, it's affecting the people and everything else that frequent those areas and that live in those areas. And, you know, there's an ancient depiction of I think it's Horus, where Horus is in his solar barge and he's sailing over the giant serpent Apophis. And sometimes Apophis is also called Apep. And he is the giant serpent, the seven-headed serpent of the underworld. And the picture usually shows the god Set staking Apophis with a rod that's driven into the ground. And, you know, that to me is basically somebody using a dowser's rod and staking that dragon line, that serpent that runs, that energy serpent that runs through our ground that has all these veins coming out of it, like a seven-headed beast. And maybe, just maybe, that is a myth, you know, some kind of metaphor for, you know, them saying it's a seven-headed beef. I also think that Apophis has been manifested by dark magicians, and this black stream or black energy can actually become some kind of holographic monster as well, and can corrupt and infect people like a virus. And dark magicians have been summoning Apophis and Leviathan and these ancient serpent draconian energies for eons, and it's continuing today. What I feel this black stream is, and these black energies, is infected by these ancient meteorites and black stones that come from the sky in ancient tales. And one maybe even took out the dinosaurs and hit the whole planet. And I feel that these are summoned somehow, and they are a technology that terraforms planets. And it's sort of like a capsule opening up. And this primordial black goo that we have talked about before, this is a technology, I feel, and it's some kind of primordial ooze that interwove with the DNA on this planet and technology, and has affected our energy lines and our grid, and have created these black radiations, these black streams of energy that are producing imbalances in our Earth. And I have found a lot of different places in history, in ancient scriptures, where they talk about this. I feel they're making references to this unnatural darkness, this ancient artificial, some kind of artificial soulless takeover of planets, you know, and it's infecting our energy, and it's infecting who we are as a species. And if you think about it, this being Baal or Baal or Bel, even Yahweh, I think that they are all corrupted with this darkness, this unnatural darkness. And they demand worship. They are all about power and ownership. And, you know, the Christians, when they began to conquer this world, you know, whether they like it or not, they were quick to take over power spots on our planet and put up their churches and their places of power on these power spots to hijack the energy, you know, to hijack it. And they had a policy of building churches to Saint Michael, the dragon killer, over these old sites. And some of them are in weird places. I mean, if you go to Glastonbury, there's churches to St. Michael on top of Glastonbury in England. And some of the most out-of-the-way, totally illogical places to have a church, you'll see them built, you know, far from any village or city or town or even road. No reason whatsoever to have a church there. And then you'll see it in this isolated place right on top of a power spot that were known to pagans and known to ancient shaman and witches to be their place, their sacred spot. And they have hijacked that energy. I mean, it's not for by coincidence or anything else. And I feel that this is helping to cause these black radiations, cause this disruption in our world. And, you know, the Saxons, Anglo-Saxons, they spoke and speak of another energy, a dragon earth energy. And they said that certain dragons will actually build their lairs in certain sites of power to protect hordes of treasures and or gold or deposits of gold. And there's a lot of burial mounds that are associated with sites like this as well. And some of them even are called Dragon Hills or mounds. And the Celts, the Norse, they were all used these barrows and were hid treasure in them as well. So this has been used. These certain spots have been used as a places of power for eons, and now they are being transformed into black streams of radiation. And, you know, there's also an old story. I'm not going to really get into it. It's about, there was an old Welsh barrow mound that was guarded by a worm, they would call it. And on the physical plane, the burial, the treasure was that it guarded was considered to be like a magically charged treasure. But I feel that the treasure was actually a deposit of this dragon energy. And certain treasure, when it's removed, it's actually will cause, I think, some sort of vibration from the actual disruption of the soil and taking the deposit of the energy, that it will cause a strange and mystical and some kind of spiritual reaction and vibration, which will bring weird events to that area and anomalous activity to that area. And I feel that's probably why on certain places of power or places like Stonehenge, and there will be a lot of anomalous activity and UFOs and all types of that kind of activity, because it will bring these strange vibrations to the area. And, you know, in Britain alone, I know that the ley lines or the dragon energy have been mapped really, really, you know, appropriately and not so well. I think we're not really we don't discuss it as much in America here, but in England they do have a lot of mapped out streams of energy. And I think that a lot of the ley lines that they have mapped out were the streams of positive energy. And I would say that these black streams of energy probably are found all over the world, but more prominent in America and probably near Fukushima and places where there's been a complete disruption in the force and in the energy and in the ground. And, you know, not only is this attracting certain entities from other realms, but I also feel it's changing the inhabitants on our planet that frequent those areas. It will make them go towards the dark path and they will be seeking out power and ownership, and they will be corrupted by this black energy, this unnatural darkness. And there's ways to change the power spot, and there's ways to take back this planet. You know, it's just most people don't go through the time or, you know, the energy work to think about it. But if you go to a place that is high in this energy, these ley lines, or this dragon energy, you will feel sort of like a natural flowing energy from the earth, almost like a static electrical energy. And there will be some sort of strange sensation you'll feel, almost like especially in these sacred spots. And you could feel like a tingling in your fingers and toes, or your spine, or the back of your neck, and get almost like a feeling of tranquility and peace will just come over you. And almost like time will stand still for a moment, and almost like an unidentifiable, something you just can't really put your finger on, but you know it's some kind of power, you know, a great power, and it's some kind of energy. And if you make stone circles or stone spirals on energy points like this, there's ways to take back that energy, that if it's hijacked, there's ways to build the landscape according to the energy, not like we do nowadays, but actually build sacred stone monuments and stone circles and stone spirals to make it a power spot of natural flowing energy. And I feel that these ancient spots have been hijacked for this reason, to help usher in this new world order, this new world order of ownership over who we are and what we do, and who, and what we consume, and everything else. And this, I know I only got like two minutes to break, but when we come back from break too, you know, I wanted to share a story where I met this being one night that called himself Mila, M-I-L-A, and to me, he was the devil. And what he said, what he did was, you know, it gets replayed in my head over and over. And I feel these dark forces, these dark sorcerers who have helped take over this planet, you know, and have helped corrupt these energy lines that I'm talking of, in these places of power, they look for people that come from lineages such as mine. They look for people that are high energy, high spiritual energy, and they seek them out, and they try to corrupt them. And once you open that doorway, it's very hard to close. Once you play with magic in any sort of way, there is always prices to be paid. And there is almost, you never get away from it in one form or another. And when I come back, we're going to talk about, you know, I'll get to that little experience that I had, but I also wanted to talk about some places in ancient scriptures I've found where they talk about stone, a black stone coming to this planet, and black streams of negative energy, and how I feel this is sort of this dark primordial ooze that has interwove with technology and our DNA. And this song coming up is a regular here on our Spiral Radio, and I'm glad we got a full chat room now. And you guys are out there, and it's a cold night here on the shores of the Hudson River, the Phantom Shores, and this song is called Sun Grip by Bring the Dawn, and we'll be back in a minute after this. And if you're out there listening, don't be shy. Come to the chat room at paraxradionetwork.com. Find me at themysticalspiral.com. Like I said, this is called Sun Grip. We'll be back in a second. Spiral out.
You crawl, you swallow, you bite, you spit, you shell, you crawl.
In this river of apathy, you find me.
You smile, you bite, you spit, you shell, you crawl. You swallow, you bite, you spit, you shell, you crawl.
You speak to me in colors, your speech can paint.
And yes, I know.
Paint.
Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Yes, I know.
Away. You stand so close to God, and only when things go wrong. Yeah, I hate the way you stand so close to God, and only when things go wrong. And as I feed off of this sickness, your eyes become falling wise.
Destroy your laugh. You suck in a blaze. You take the soul, you laugh.
Chasing the ashes, their souls too hard.
You suck in a blaze. You take the soul, you laugh. You sharpen in a blaze. You take the soul, you laugh.
I'm watching you walk across the face.
You can
read my words.
You can read my words.
And it's the thunder whistles.
Thunder
whistles. Thunder
whistles.
I try and hold the sun. I try and hold the sun.
Listening at home, at work, or anywhere. Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Now we're back, and that was called Sun Grip by Bring the Dawn. And you know, I was talking about how I have found a lot of places in history where they make references to this black stone. And when I had this magical black stone, I mean, and if you look at John Dee, he worshipped the black stone, the lords of the black stone connected to the Vril Society and the Nazis, Mecca, they worshipped the black stone. And, you know, the Holy Grail may even be part of a meteorite. You know, this stone, I feel, when I asked my higher self or whatever you want to call it, when I go to meditation and when I go to sleep at night, I had asked a few years back, and I think I've shared this before, where this stone came from, what it is. I wanted some answers and I wanted a clue. So I was given this vision and I saw the head of a bull with the one red eye and then a stone coming out of the sky. And so I thought, you know, I took that as Aldebaran or some kind of black stone from Aldebaran being the bull. And Baal is the bull. You know, the god Baal is the bull. And a lot of Baal worship is also associated with the worship of black stones as well. And worshiping this god. And, you know, the cult of Mithras, which Christianity ended up taking some of their practices and rituals. This cult, the cult of Mithras, basically I don't know if you want to say if they were portraying or believing, or their god basically was a militant sort of god. And he took origin in a great rock. And he would cause water to gush forth from this rock after he struck it with his mighty arrows. And there was a flood which one man escaped in a special boat, just like Moses, in a Last Supper, which Mithras celebrated with the sun god before he ascended into the heavens. And Mithras was conceived as the surviving champion of the sun god in the struggle with the god of darkness. And in recognition of the slaying, the mythical sacred bull, they state, Mithras was made immortal, being exalted to the station and the ruler for the human race among the gods. And this cult of Mithra, they would worship in caves and other secret places. They would chant hymns. They would practice magic. They would eat the flesh of sacrificial animals and drink blood. And before they would walk into their temple rooms, they would dip their fingers in water, their holy water, before they walked in. Also, when a man died, he went before Mithras for judgment. And at the end of the world, Mithras would summon all the dead from their graves to face the last judgment, and the wicked would be destroyed by fire, and the righteous would reign with Mithras forever. Very similar to Christianity. And you know, there's so many practices that even Christianity took from both the cult of Mithras and from other pagan worshippers and practices. And like I stated earlier, the battle between Yahweh and Baal, you know, this long controversy between the believers in Yahweh and the followers of Baal was basically like some kind of clash between religious beliefs, but it was also a difference between land and owners of land and owners of property. And, you know, the, if you want to call the Arabian tribes the Yahwehites, all right, or and you want to call the Canaanites the Baalites, all right, if you want to say that, they, the ones in Yahweh, that believers in Yahweh, they held the land as being only owned by Yahweh. It could never be sold. It could never be mortgaged. It could never be contracted, because the land shall never be sold, for the land is Yahweh's. The land is His, right? So the Canaanites or the Baalites, they bought and sold land freely. They mortgaged their lands. The word Baal, the word Lord, the word Baal, Bel, literally means owner. It means owner. And the Baal or Baal cult, they had two major doctrines within it. First, it was property, contracts, covenants, the right to buy and sell land. Second, Baal was supposed to bring rain. It was supposed to bring rain to the soil. He is the god of fertility. He's the god of the woods. He is Pan. He is the god of the forest. He is one of many names. Baal is many. Yahweh is one. Okay? So, if you take a look, and, you know, with the worship of Baal, I mean, if you had good crops, they would thought, you know, you were in the favor of Baal or Baal. And if there was a drought or if there were crops that were ruined, it was always be the because Baal was – you weren't devoted to Baal or Baal, you know. And with Yahweh, you know, His worshipers never owned their land. You know, they never mortgaged their lands or had contract. They, you know, it wasn't theirs. You know, they never owned it. So, Baal or Baal is largely and completely about ownership and fertility and this. And what is our world about now? It's about owning everything. It's about mortgages, contracts, all of this. So, even though the worship of Yahweh prevailed and it's the most dominant religion, you know, they're the Christians, they're, you know, all of this, it's really Baal or the Baal practices that are ruling this physical plane. And what is Baal or Bel or Beltazar? Beltazar, Bel, Baal, Baal, all these words are terms for the devil, you know. And Baalites or Baalites, they would own houses, land, slaves, and they were landlords and lived in cities. And each Baal or Baal has a sacred place, a priesthood, and their holy woman would be like ritual prostitutes. All right? So basically, in the regard for the land here, and basically it wasn't about religious worship. It was basically about land and ownership. And like I said, the Yahweh believers on the one side and the Canaanites or the Baalites on the other. And like Misaki was saying, yeah, what, and they're saying in the chat room, you know, even cannibals, you know, that's pretty interesting that, you know, it comes from that. And Canaanites, cannibals, you know, Canaanites, Cain, cannibal, Cain, you know, and this Baal worship is all in the book of King Og. And King Og is an ancient Rephaim giant. And these giants and this book, the Lost Book of King Og, was suppressed by the Vatican for thousands of years. And just in 2016, it was released. I referenced to that earlier. And basically, they have the two tribes of the Rephaim, these ancient Nephilim. You have the uncircumcised ones and the circumcised ones. And the circumcised ones were the ones that followed Nimrod. And Nimrod got his member, like, lanced in battle. And part of it was hanging off, so he cut off the other end. And then he forced the rest of his followers to circumcise themselves. And, you know, we are all born in America with circumcision. You know, this America is ruled by this worship. It is ruled by this unnatural darkness that has infected us. And I think it all comes from this black stone and the summoning of this black stone. And maybe it's what hit our planet back when they say the meteor took out the dinosaurs. Maybe it is part of this stone. And that stone was actually a large capsule terraforming our planet with an unnatural darkness. And in the Lost Book of King Og, and you see, they even before I get to that, they, you know, it's talked about how there was an ancient giant and the moon child, and she had a crown on her head from the Rephaim, and she was pregnant, and she was crying out in her birth agony and giving birth, right? And then the great circumcised dragon with seven heads, very similar to what I talked about before with Apophis and having the seven heads. This circumcised dragon with seven heads and 10 horns appeared before the moon child, and the dragon stood before her and ready to devour the new Rephaim as soon as it was born. And as soon as the moon child gave birth to the sun, a male child who was to rule all of the giant nations with a rod of iron, like I talked about before. That giant rod may be dowsing the negative black radiations of the earth energy, how a dowser will stick the rod into the earth to change the energy of the earth, to change the black radiations of the black energy. And maybe that this is what they are talking about, to snatch that darkness energy and change it into a positive, to hijack that energy. Because like I talked about before, it's not a mistake that these energy points have been taken over by the churches, these power points. And it said that as soon as the sun was snatched from her and eaten by the dragon, and the moon child, she went to the wilderness to die, a victim of the uncircumcised. For the sin against the moon child are heaped high to heaven, and Baal of the moon will not forgive the iniquity of her death. And it says that, like, repay her land double for your circumcised deeds of destruction. And it's about bringing more rain and more power and more life to your property. And it's Baal worship is about receiving ownership of land. And Nimrod, you know, because of him, his circumcision and his force of circumcision, this is where the term Nimrod being stupid comes from. You know, for it will forever mean stupid. It will forever mean you're a Nimrod because of his carving of his body and his circumcision and forcing others to be circumcised and to mutilate their bodies. And this is why he was Nimrod, had become meaning stupid, you know. And they talk about in the so I mentioned now with the cult of Mithras how the worship of the rock, and we also know that Osiris appeared out of like a tree and some kind of stone. It was involved as well. And we also find here in the Lost Book of King Og, we find that they're talking how the blackened blood of both the circumcised and the uncircumcised were all over the grass, from battle. And the bodies were cut and laid upon wood, and they poured 4 barrels of this black oil upon the flesh. And then the fire of Baal to the sun fell and consumed the sacrifice of the false priests. And the dark smoke from these cursed Rephaim flesh, it burned and rose, and they breathed it in, and it infected everything around the atmosphere, and it like sort of incorporated itself within the land. And maybe this black oil that they poured on is sort of what we're talking about, this black primordial ooze. And, you know, it also says here, and this is from King Og, and this is one of the only known writings of the Rephaim. It says, and this is his words quoted from the Lost Book of King Og, "An unnatural curse now rests upon my skull and spirit until the end of stars. We both encouraged this new abomination, Nimrod and I, Og, in our quest for the unnatural. During this time of the sacrifice, priest, I, Og, governed my half of the great land, and Nimrod, his eye, Og, continually marveled over the tranquil peace between our war tribes. Nimrod's Nephaim kingdom enforced circumcision, while Og's did not." And it's saying, you know, it's also saying how, you know, Nimrod defiled Baal or Baal, and this is what led Og to kill Nimrod. And Nimrod was once saw him as a great warrior and a mighty warrior, and he respected him. But from that day on, that's why Nimrod, from his hatred, you know, of Nimrod, from what he did and how he forced people to be circumcised, that will forever mean stupid, you know. And Nimrods, you know, people are called Nimrods for that reason. And I find that really interesting, because you've heard that people use that term, "Oh, you're a Nimrod," you know, and all of this. And, you know, it's interesting too that Naga and reptiles are associated with volcanoes, and Yahweh to the Gnostics and Yaldabaoth are associated with volcanoes as well. And, you know, in the Gnostic text, it states that Yaldabaoth defiled Eve, and he cursed this earth, and he realized that humans had withdrawn from him, and he found Eve basically preparing herself for her husband, and he became a master over her. And he did not know the mystery that had come into being through this sacred plan. And the two of them were afraid to denounce Yaldabaoth. And he displayed to his angels an ignorance within him, and he threw the humans out of paradise and cloaked them in a thick darkness. And this thick darkness, what is this thick darkness? This unnatural darkness that now they're talking about in the Gnostic text, the same as in King Og. And it states also that the first ruler saw the young woman standing next to Adam, Eve we're talking about, and noticed that enlightened insight of life had appeared in her. And yet Yaldabaoth was full of ignorance. So when the foresight of the all realized this, they dispatched emissaries and they stole life out of Eve. The first ruler defiled Eve and produced in her 2 sons, a first and a second, Elohim and Yahweh. Elohim had the face of a bear. Yahweh had the face of a cat. One is just and the other unjust. He placed Yahweh over fire and wind, and he placed Elohim over water and earth. And, you know, the Archons were the ones that took Adam and put Adam in paradise. And they said, "Eat," meaning do so in a leisurely manner, right? But in fact, that pleasure is bitter and their beauty is perverse. And the pleasure is a trap. The trees are a sacrilege and their fruit is basically deadly poison. And their promise is death, you know. And, you know, they put their tree of life in the middle of paradise. And I feel the roots of their tree are the bitter roots, and the branches are death, and its shadow is hatred, and the leaves are its traps. Its blossom is bad ointment, and this unnatural darkness is a fruit of death, and desire is its seed, and it blossoms in darkness. And the dwelling place of those who taste of it is in the underworld, and darkness is their resting place. And these black radiations that I talk about, these black streams of negative energy, are this unnatural darkness running like veins along our ley line. And anyone who frequents that area or lives in that area will be corrupted with this unnatural darkness. And this like Cain, we're talking in the chat room of Cain and Abel, you know, after this Eve gave birth to Cain, and Cain was one that farmed the land, and then Adam had sex with his wife, and she became pregnant again and gave birth to Abel. And, you know, Abel was a shepherd, and Cain brought produce from the field, and Abel brought an offering from his lambs, and God looked with favor upon the offering of Abel, but he did not accept the offerings of Cain. And Cain, man of flesh, pursued Abel, his brother. And God then said to Cain, Where's your brother Abel, right? And Cain answered and said, Am I my brother's keeper? And God said to Cain then, Listen, the voice of your brother's blood is calling to me. He could smell the blood. The voice of the blood is calling to him. Just like the giants, they could smell the DNA. So God said to Cain, I can smell your brother's blood. It's calling to me. And you have sinned with your mouth, and it will come back to you. And whoever kills Cain will release seven vendettas, and you will live groaning and shaking upon the earth. And Adam had sex with his partner Eve again, and she became pregnant and bore Seth for Adam. She said, I have given birth to another person through God in place of Abel, and he was Seth. And, you know, we're going to have to get back into this more. And I know I didn't get into my encounter with who I call Belteshazzar or Baal. But if you go to my YouTube, and my Patreon will be set up soon. I'm still working on the different platforms available. But you will hear more of this research and more of these topics. And we will go further down the mystical spiral of life. This is Spiral Radio, and we are on the Para X Radio Network. It's Friday night. Thank you for tuning in. I want to say thanks to my producer, Sarge. Thank you for everybody joining in the chat room, from Masaki to Ceiling Cat to Isaac to Path of the Fool to Genzai, everybody out there. Thank you for joining. We'll see you next time. And once again, I say, spiral out. You.